All right, so what I'm going to be doing for the next 40 or so minutes is I'm just going to be continuing with our series. Then after that, we'll pray and do one or two other things after that. Okay, so as a church, what we normally do is this. We have get a sense of what God is asking us to look at, and we do it in form of series. So what that means is at this particular point in time, we're looking at a series called, Why Am I Here? Why am I here? So we've been looking at that since the beginning of the month, and we're going to carry on today. So the question I'm asking us this morning, and that I asked us last week, and that I'm going to ask us next week is this. It's a personal question. And the question is this. Why are you here? I don't mean why are you here in church this morning. Why are you on earth? Why were you born? Why are you here? Now, the reason I'm asking that question, I mean, there are loads of reasons I'm asking, but one reason I want us to really consider that question this morning is this. So I've been with people who it's time for them to depart from the earth and, you know, go and be with the Lord. And at that point, their life flashes past them. And at that point, they're asking that question, what have I done with my life? The things that I said I will do, was I able to do them? Or did I let life just carry me in whatever direction life wanted to carry me? So it's a food for thought this morning that you and I do not want to get to the point where we're 90 and we look back at our lives and we are regretful because it's like, my goodness, I should have done this. My goodness, I should have done that. So none of us will be in that position in Jesus' name. Amen. So the question this morning is, why are you here? Last week, we looked at the life of a man called Demas. And in the life of this man started really strong with the Apostle Paul. He was part of the entourage of Apostle Paul, preaching from place to place. But at the end of the day, this man got dragged away from purpose. Today, we're looking at the third installment of this Why Am I Here series. So today, I'm looking at a portion of scripture here, which is going to be our main scripture for today. And it's in the book of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Now, the NIV version says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom and instruction. That's the NIV version. The King James version says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I'll just stop there. So what I want to do is to combine the King James version and the NIV version and summarize it as this. Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint and perish sometimes. Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint and sometimes perish. So we're looking at vision this morning. Now, what is vision? I was telling someone that usually when someone says, oh, what is the vision for your life? Or what's the vision? We often think in massive terms. We're thinking of maybe Tesco's or Walmart, if you're American, and all these corporate organizations that sit around the table. And it's like, what is our vision for 2024? But vision in our context is very simple. It's as simple as, what do you want for your life in the context of God's plan for you? Simple. So every single one of us has a vision. And if you think you do not have a vision, life will give you a vision. Life will take you where it wants to take you. Do you understand? So we're looking at vision this morning. And vision simply means, where do you want your life to end up? Where do you want to go? Where do you want the life of your children to end up? Do you understand? That's simply what vision is. So, Proverbs chapter 20, 9 that we're looking at this morning, verse 18, is saying, look, where there is no vision, people will cast off restraint, all right, and probably perish. So what does that mean in context? That's what we're going to look at this morning. And I'm going to take the story of the Israelites when Moses went to, when God sent Moses to deliver them from Egypt and take them to the promised land. I'm sure we've all seen that film before. I know you guys, I mean, I remember when I was much younger, they were, just to give away how old I am, we had 3 films in the house. Just 3 films. There was no internet, there was nothing like that. And it was in this big Betamax things. Don't worry if you don't know what Betamax is, it's fine. Like these big, massive tapes. Those 3 films that we had was Sound of Music, The 10 Commandments, and Sholay, the Indian film. So if you haven't watched 10 Commandments, I can tell that you're a Netflixer. The only thing you know is all these latest films that they just... So this was Moses that God appeared to him and said, go to my people in Egypt. I have heard their cry. You are going to bring them out and take them to fulfill their destiny. So that's the background of the story. So we're looking at 3 main sections this morning. So the first thing is this. God appears to Moses and he gives him the vision for Israel. He tells him why he's sending Moses to bring the people out of Egypt. In a single verse here, he makes mention of that in Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. He says, then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. Let me repeat. Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go, that they may worship me. So that was the vision that God gave Moses for the whole of Israel. That was the reason why Moses went to Pharaoh, divided the Red Sea, all those plagues that came. It was to fulfill the vision that God gave him for the people. So Moses just didn't go there because they were suffering. Yes, they were suffering in Egypt. He didn't go there just to give them so that they could get a better life. Yes, God wanted to give them a better life. But the main thing God said here was this, so that they may go and worship him. That was the vision. And it's interesting that that encompassed every area of life for them. But we'll look at that as we go along. What's God saying to us as well again? Similar. If you look at John chapter 4, verse 23. John chapter 4, verse 23. It says, but the hour comes. Jesus was telling a woman at the well. The hour comes and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. So Jesus meets this woman at the well, and they're having all sorts of conversations here. She tells him one thing, another thing, and Jesus says, look, God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So that's one of God's visions for us, to worship him in spirit and in truth. And when he says to worship him in spirit and in truth, it's not just coming and gathering like this as a church and singing. No. It encompasses every area of our lives. But I'm not going to go in that direction this morning. We're looking at vision and how important vision is. Vision is where do you want to end up? Really? Really? I guess the question is that. Someone asked me once, a while ago, what's your vision? I'm like, man, scratching my head. I'm not even sure I have one. I just want to get up, go to work and come back. I'm barely surviving. But you're talking about vision. What do you mean by that? But it is important. Because if you and I do not have a clear view of where we want to end up, where we want our children to end up, where we want our relatives to end up, then Proverbs 20, 9 that we read might apply. But we look at three things here this morning. So the first is God appears to Moses and gives him a vision very clearly for Israel, why he was sending Moses to go and bring them. Now, the second part I want to look at is this. Straight away, when Moses gets to Pharaoh and says, this is the vision that God has for this people, Pharaoh immediately begins to try to distort that vision. He said, first of all, Pharaoh says, no, I don't agree. These people are not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. They're staying right here. God does a lot of things, punishes them, sends hailstone, delivers all sorts of things. Pharaoh now calms down a bit and he says, okay. All right, okay, I agree. But then he begins to try and distort the vision that God gives them. And I'll just highlight a number of things and try to put it in context for us as well. Exodus chapter 10, verse 24 to 26. Exodus chapter 10, verses 24 to 26. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, go, worship the Lord. Even your women and children may go with you. So he says, okay, no problem. Go and worship this your God that you're talking about. He now proceeds and says, only leave your flocks and herds behind. He says, go, do whatever you want to do, but leave your herd and your stock behind. Moses said, you must allow us to have sacrifices and burnt offerings to present to the Lord our God. Our livestock must go with us. Not a hoof is to be left behind. We are to use some of them in worshiping the Lord our God. Until we get there, we will not know what we are going to use to worship the Lord. So, the first thing that Pharaoh begins to do is this. He says, okay, God has forced my hand here. Go and do your vision. Go and worship God, right? But leave your livestock behind. Leave those with me. And Moses makes a point and says, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to leave our resources out of the context of God. No, we are going to use our resources for God. Now, what does that mean in context? In context, it might mean, no problem, worship God, go to church, and all those things, but the things that really matter to you, your giftings, even your money, has nothing to do with God. You just do what you can do here and there, but the things that really matter to you, the core of your resources, keep it behind. Just give some of it to God. Just some of it. Moses said, no, we're not going to do that. Everything that we have, everything that we are, belongs to God. We're going to use everything that we have to worship this God that we're talking about. We're not going to do it in half measures. No, we're not going to do it in half measures. And, you know, someone was asking me, people ask me loads of questions. And I said, for me, as an individual, not as a pastor or anything, as far as I'm concerned, God owns and has and should have, not all the time, access to everything that I have and everything that I am. Do you understand? Everything that I have and everything that I have. If I can sing, which I learned to do not too long ago, then if God needs that, then that is what exactly I'm going to do. If I can play guitar, anything that I have that God needs, here you go. Here you go. Here you go. So Moses begins to tell Pharaoh that no, all our resources belong to God. Our giftings, our hearts belong to God. We're not going to give God half measures. We're not going to give God half measures. So what is this saying to us from a vision's perspective? From a vision's perspective, right, this is telling us a number of things. That God wants all of you. Or the vision of God for you requires all of you, not some of you, not part of you, all of you, all of you. And Moses makes that point very clear to him. Then Pharaoh says, okay, just go out of here. He goes, God does more things to Pharaoh. Moses comes back. And again, Pharaoh begins to try to interfere with the vision that God had given Moses. God told Moses, take these people out 3 days into the wilderness and worship me there. Then Pharaoh says something in Exodus chapter 8, verses 25 and 26. Then Pharaoh summons Moses and Aaron and said, go, sacrifice to your God here in the land. But Moses said, that would not be right. So Pharaoh now goes, do whatever it is you need to do, but just make sure you do it in the land. Do it exactly how we would normally do it. Do it any way you want to do it, but it has to be here. So, again, Pharaoh begins he tries to tamper again with the vision of God for them. God says, go to this particular place and do X, Y, and Z. Pharaoh says, no, don't go there. You can do it right here, and we might even be able to help you. So what does this mean? This also begins to tell us this, that if we do not have a clear vision of what God wants us to do or where God is taking us or where God is taking you, then you and I will adopt any means possible that might not be necessarily the way God wants us to do things. Do you understand? You know, someone was... it might not be the way God wants you to do what he wants you to do. So Pharaoh said, do it here. You have everything you need here. Don't go where God is asking you to go to. You can do it here. Do it here. But Moses said, no, I'm not going to do it here. I remember I was saying, and you know, I don't want to like repeat the story that I was saying last week. Well, it's one story I have anyway. And I mentioned that, so this is just in my own context, might not necessarily mean your own context. I remember we were in London, right? West London. That's where we'd lived for a long time. And I'd worked so hard in my career that I got this great job that I'd wanted forever, working in the city of London. I was so excited about all those things. Then God says, I mean, our church in London, I think a couple of people have been there. Man, when it's like, I mean, don't worry, you guys, when we do the convention, we'll carry all of you there. I mean, when you go to the church in London, Elder is here, the choir, like, they're like 100 people in the choir with alto, bass, tenor, two bass guitarists, two guitarists. You can tell I love music. Two piano. I mean, it's like, it's really, and you know, when you go in there as a pastor, it's like, good morning, pastor, good morning. You know this one, I run to church in the morning, switch on the deck because everybody's still sleeping. It's true. Switch on the deck. I say, please, help me to do sound check. Hey, what's happening there? Increase the mic. Is it? Oh, okay. Is there biscuit there? None of that. I'll wake up, sleep properly, drive there as I'm entering the church amongst other pastors. Like, good morning, Pastor Benson. Good morning, Pastor Benson. I'm like, oh, yeah. Front seat, straight. Then after that, after the service, oh, Pastor Benson, do you want tea and biscuits? Excuse me, that's not wise. But what I'm just saying, that I was cool. I was cool there. Then God says, go to Bristol. I'm like, to go and do what there, sir? Send any other person there. And he kept silent. And he kept silent. So the vision I had for myself was, stay in London, be cool, enjoy yourself, I mean, come on, God's vision can still be fulfilled. If I had stayed in London, would God be annoyed with me? No. Would I be having a good time? Yes. But none of you would be here. None of you would be here. So Pharaoh was telling this, he was saying, telling to Moses, God's vision can be fulfilled, but fulfill it here. And Moses said straight away, no. Now, I'm not saying you guys should emigrate. That's not the point. But what I'm saying is that Pharaoh was interfering with the vision, saying, don't go there. Do it here. Right here. And Moses said, no, I'm not going to do that. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that if you and I are not deliberate about the kind of life we want to live for God, then you will do it here. Do you understand? If you're not deliberate, right, your resources, your giftings that God has put in inside of you, you will not use it to benefit God. Because, like, what's the big deal? At least I go to church on Sunday, I sing, I and all that. That's enough. Really? Maybe it is. For a while, though. So, what am I saying? We're talking about vision. And I'm saying, why are you here, really? Why are you here? Are you here? Oh, man. Last week when I was... By the way, if this is your first time, my sermons are not always this serious. Someone was looking at me last week, like, oh my goodness, Pastor B, I mean, tell us something to cheer us up. I'm cheering you up, don't worry. Like, oh, this church, this is first time. Is this how they preach in this church? Making us so reflective and sober. Don't worry. Next, I can't promise you next Sunday, right? But one Sunday, we'll have the keyboardists here. And they will think, you guys will be so happy. But today, you will hear everything I have to tell you. And if you leave, I'll tell them to, if you want to leave, I'll tell them to lock the door. Just kidding. So, we're looking at vision this morning in the context of the question, why are you here? So, we've looked at vision. We said, vision is simply where do you imagine your life will be in the context of God? The second part we're looking at is the fact that things always try to interfere with vision. We see Pharaoh here immediately trying to distort the vision that God gave the children of Israel. He said, stay here. He said, don't worry, just do it in half measures. Do it in half measures, just a bit. Don't be too serious about this church business. Just, you don't want to become a fanatic, you know. You know that church, you need to calm down. Don't, you know, don't just, you know, don't become a fanatic like they told me when I was slightly younger. My parents were like, are you the first person that will be a Christian in this family? I was in my 20s. Are you the first person that will be a Christian? I said, no, I'm not. But let me not tell you the response. But it wasn't a rude response. That's because in my own heart, I wasn't going to give Jesus half measures. Do you understand? No way. I mean, let's look at it. Do you that you're married, not you, you know, do you want your wife to give you half measures? Like, just say, okay, husband, I'm going to give you 25% of my time, 75%, please don't, how would you feel about that? Do you understand? I'm not quite sure we'll be happy with that kind of thing. So, Pharaoh begins to try to intervene and interfere with the vision of God. He now does one more thing. There are others, but I'm just going to look at one more thing, then we'll look at the last part. When Pharaoh saw that, look, I can't really get these guys, you know? I can't really get them. They're just too hardcore. These guys are too serious. I know what I'm going to do. He now applies the thing that he applies to every single one of us. Moses now goes back to Pharaoh. He says, let my people go in Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. Moses now says, let my people go, God says. Do you know what Pharaoh now says? Pharaoh now says, you guys are lazy. It's because you have time on your hands. This, if you were suffering, you won't even have the time to think about worshiping God. Then do you know what Pharaoh does? He says, okay, you guys would normally, you're producing bricks. They would give them straw to make these bricks, to harden the bricks and all that. If you don't know what that means, don't worry. Basically, he made life very difficult for them. And he made life so difficult for them that they didn't even have time to think about God again. He stressed them out. He stressed them out. He put them under tremendous amount of pressure. And after he increased the pressure on their lives, I'll explain one of two things of how this happens. Moses now goes back to this people and he says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, God has sent me to you. God is saying that this is the vision. God is saying that we're going to reach the people in Bristol. God is saying you're going to really reach the people in Afghanistan. I'm not going there, but I'm sure one of you guys can go there. God is saying... The deal I have with God is Bristol, not Afghanistan. So let's be clear about that one. If any of you feel led to go to Afghanistan, don't worry. We'll bring you here. We'll pray for you. I will send you off. He said, oh, praise the Lord, the vision of God. And he went to these people. And in Exodus chapter 6, I'm not going to read the whole thing, verses 2 to 9. They were just looking at him. They're just looking at him. And I say, okay, speak on, Pastor. Yes? Well, you're saying what? Speak on. Yes, yes. And in verse 9 of Exodus chapter 6, it says, Moses reported this to Israel, all the things that God wanted to do with them. He says, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. This was something else that Pharaoh did to them. He so pressurized them, made life so tough for them, that when Moses came back and was talking to them, their soul was so discouraged. He said they didn't even listen to him. They didn't even listen. They were so tired. It was like, man, Pastor B, you're asking us to go and talk to people. I haven't paid my rent, council tax. They've sent me like 3 red letters. Job, this person is, and you're, and with all these things that are going on in my life, you want me to go and preach the gospel? In fact, I'm not going to pick your call. They won't tell me that usually. I call, is that pastor guy? Is that pastor guy calling me? All these church people, they're too much. Decline. Why? It's like, man, like I've had it. I'm so tired. You're not asking me to. Well, what's vision? Okay, Pastor B, your vision is where you want where you want us to get to. What does that what does that have to do with my life? At the moment, I'm suffering. This person is ill. This person is this. I can't. And you're telling me vision and in fact, if not that, your pastor I'll have been rude to you. And I've seen that a lot. There was once someone came to meet me. I was with another individual. And this person came and they passed a comment to me. It's happened a number of times. And at the end, I just smiled. I said, no worries. God bless you. I'll see you later. And the person beside me was like, is that the rest? They let them go. They said, Pastor, if it was me, I would let someone talk to me like that. I would have told them that, you know, and I looked. And in my mind, the way I responded that way, because I knew, now this person is tired. They're not speaking from a place where they're fine. They're tired. And when people are tired, they will say things and they will do things that is out of character. Do you understand? Pharaoh knew and understood that. That, okay, let me turn up the heat for these guys and let us see if they will have time for anything. I will block their mind with so many worries that, in fact, if they ever think of church, it's because Pastor B messaged them. So what am I saying? Vision is important. And if you and I do not understand the importance of vision, then we will give up. We will give up. If you do not have a vision of where God wants you to be, and I can tell all of you here that God has a good plan for you. It might not be to be a pastor or anything like that, but he wants you to live in his will. He wants to help you. He wants you to affect the people in your life, your children, your aunties, your in a good way. Not because he wants you to be a preacher or anything like that. But I can tell you, your vision and my vision will go through the test of fire. Oh, I tell you. But the good news is this. It's worth it, because that vision will give you the fulfillment that you can't get elsewhere. So that when you're 90, or for some of you that want to get to 120, God bless you. When you're 120, you can look back and say, yes, I am fulfilled. And like Paul, you can say, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have kept the faith. Do you understand? So what am I saying here? I've said, vision is simply, where do you want to be? Imagine it in the context of God. The second thing is realizing that life will try your vision. Life will try and get you to compromise your vision. Life will try and get you to leave God out of your life and just get on. It's like, man. So what do? Agree with the vision of God for your life. Agree with the vision of God for your life. And realize that all the things that God has for you are important. So, I'm going to stop this morning. Next week, we're going to look at a number of things. I mentioned that today, we're looking at vision. There is vision, constraint, and discipline. When life begins to, I'll use that word, hammer you. Is it hammer? Is that a right word to use? Is that a politically correct word to use? Hammer. Or should I say, turn up the heat? When life begins to hammer you and it gets boiling, what do? We'll look at that next week. And I can tell you, life has hammered me a lot. But you know what? By the grace of God, I'm cool. By the grace of God, I'm here. And so the medicine that I'm recommending to you all is the medicine that I am taking as well. So if I were a doctor and you came to me and I said, oh, for this thing that you're going through, take 3 injections, 2 paracetamols, and all those things, and you take it. When the same thing happens to me, I have to give myself that same injection and the same medicine, because it applies to every single one of us. But I'll end with this. I'll end with the fact that, look, the God that we're talking about here, my God, my Redeemer, my Savior, he hasn't left you and I to ourselves to say, okay, just carry on and let's see where you will get to. No. When the children of Israel, they misbehaved and all that, God understood, and God will still come back and say, okay, step number 9, I'm still here. Let's go. The God that we're talking about here hasn't left us to our devices. He has said that when we go through the fire, he will be there. He says, when we go through the water, it will not overflow us. So what does that mean? It means that irrespective of what life throws at you, life tries to snatch your vision. Life tries to do all these things. You don't have to worry yourself too much. Why? Because there is a God, the God that we serve, standing right by your side. And he says he will not leave you and he will not forsake you. Amen. Why don't we just give this God a big round of applause this morning? I tell you. You guys are almost making me turn to an American now, but I'm not going to do that. I was going to say, no, I'm not. Let me just keep it calm. I'll do it anyway. I was going to say, God's for you. God's going to be there for you all the time. And when you're going through trouble, God's there. Oh, my goodness. Bishop, these guys are not Americans. Should we take them to Chicago? Let them go. I'm just kidding. But let's rise up and pray this morning. And it's a personal prayer. And what I'm going to ask that we do this morning is two things. One, to really thank God that God is so interested in us that he gives and outlines a vision for our lives. That he's always there. Even when we think that, man, I'm not quite sure what is happening here, God is always there. And for that, we just want to thank him. And say, God, thank you. Thank you that you're always there for me. Even at the times that you're not quite sure that he's there, he is there, actually. He was there for Israel when they didn't even know what was going on. So the same way, God is there for you as well. So the first thing is to ask God to just receive our thanks this morning and say, God, I thank you. Thank you for being there for me. Thank you for being there for us as a church. Even through the trying times when I didn't know what was happening, even though I might not have realized that you were there, you were there. So we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for everything that you are doing in our lives, for being there for us. Even when we didn't even realize it. Father, we love you and we say thank you. The other prayer I'd like us to pray this morning is this. Actually, we'll pray two more prayers, then I'll pray for us. The second prayer I'd like us to pray is this. You might be here and it's like, God, I don't even know what vision means in the context of my life. What does vision mean? Where I don't even have any vision or anything that I think you're saying to me. This morning, why don't you pray? And just say, God, put a vision for my life in my heart. Put a vision, put something in me that I will desire to do in the context of your kingdom. You know, the Bible says God is the one that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Why don't you ask God to give you a fresh vision for your life? What does that mean? It's God, show me something about my future in you. Show me something. Give me something to get up in the morning for. Ask the Lord for a vision for your life, for your children's lives, for everyone around you, Father, ask God for a fresh vision for your life. Father, we ask for a fresh vision. Father, even for the things that you've spoken to us as individuals, that it seems like it's buried away. Father, rejuvenate those things. And for anyone who is not quite clear of what that means, do something in our hearts to give us a fresh and a clear vision of the things that you want to do. And the last prayer I want us to pray this morning is this. You might be here and it's like, man, I should have made this choice, but I made a wrong choice here. And my life has now taken a bend. And I'm not quite sure I can recover from that bend. I'm not even sure God has any interest in me anymore. I'm just, man, I've gone my own way. Why don't you ask, if that is you, that God will restore and work out everything out for your good. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, it says, God works out everything for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So why don't you ask that, God, I've made X and Y mistake, but you're able to turn it around. Ask the Lord to turn around everything in your life, every false turn that you have made. Ask God to help you, and he will. Our Father and our King, we just want to thank you for giving us your word on vision. Lord, I commit everyone that is here into your hands, and even those that are not here today. Lord, your word says in Jeremiah chapter 29:11 that you know the plans you have for us, plans to give us hope and a future. Lord, I speak into the lives of your people, hope. I speak the future that you have for every individual here and the ones that are not here in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray and I say that every mountain that has stood before your people, every diversion, let it be leveled now in Jesus' name. I speak you back into the destiny that God has for you. Let your path become clearer and clearer. Clearer and clearer. Father, your word says in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, not by power and not by might, but by your spirit. Father, let the Holy Spirit strengthen each and every one of us in this journey of life. In Jesus' name.